down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on a Friday morning live from Saratoga right in front of Clare Court. A little overcast, but no precipitation. We'll knock on wood there, and hopefully it holds up through the rest of the day, and I think that's kind of the game plan. There was a little precipitation overnight in the area, but just checking the usual sources, it looks like we remain on the turf, so we'll keep our fingers crossed as that plays out. This morning on Racing Across America, a little bit later, Liana Bonavita, the sports reporter from WTEN. She and I do some picks every night on their 6 o'clock newscast right by the finish line, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I sit in with Leanna and give a couple of picks for the next day, and then also early in the morning on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We have a little spot as well, but I thought we'd check in with Leanna and see what her schedule is like during the racing season as far as sports up here. And WTEN also does a great job with their live set out by the paddock covering not just news in the area, but obviously being on track, covering a lot of the horse racing stories as well. So we'll talk with Leanna in a few minutes. Jonathan Kinchin will join us in a while, top handicapper, also prominent contest player, and he's now part of the Fox Sports MSG Saratoga Live program. So we'll get some thoughts from him on various topics and maybe some picks as well. Speaking of picks and topics, David Aragona joins us at the top of the show. Morning line odds maker for the New York Racing Association. Also sits in on the pregame show with Andy quite often. David, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very good. Happy to have you join us. You were on a couple of weeks ago, and towards the end of the segment, I said, you know what? We're going to have you on at some point and talk morning line, because I think it's a topic that I think a lot of people are interested in. And I'll tell you right off the bat, it is a thankless job, and I do not envy you, because it seems like the only time people notice is when the morning line is off. When it's on, it's on, and nobody notices. And so when you do a great job, kind of there's no applause, but these days, especially with social media, you miss one. And up here with the two-year-old races, it's not hard to miss one. But it, as I say, kind of a thankless job.
Yeah, the best congratulations for me is when nobody says anything. And people have been pretty quiet up here this year, so that's good news for me. I don't mind that too much.
And it, as I say, it's something that, to me, and it, you know, a lot of people rely on the morning line, and so it's important. And as I say, you don't get thanked for doing a job well done, and you do a great job. And as you say, there isn't a lot of chatter. There are some tracks where it's just off all the time, smaller tracks. And that makes it tough for a lot of handicappers. The one I don't pay attention too much to the morning line until really after I'm done, and then maybe I'll look at it. But every night on Channel 10, I have to give out a long shot. And that's one where you rely on the morning line a little bit. And so somebody else's opinion of where's the betting public going to go. So it does play into handicapping.
Yeah, I mean, just to defend the morning line a little bit, I think people who are so involved in it, like you and I, don't really need to use it as an assist. But, I mean, you don't want to heighten the bar of entry to the game so high that people who are newbies or who are just coming to the races for the first time don't want to use it as a guide to see who's the favorite, who's the long shot, because it's a great starting place to formulate opinions if you're not so familiar with the racing circuit already.
I also have a question for you that I came up with a couple of days ago before we get started, because I want to get the nuts and bolts of the job. But I don't remember if it was here or out of town, but I was looking at a race just within the past week and a half or so. Turf race. There was an entry. There's a horse in the body of the field and a horse that's an MTO. And the horse in the body of the field I would have put in the middle of the pack. the horse that was the MTO was the clear favorite if they went to the main track. But can you split the odds on an entry?
So the way that it works, or the way that I do it at least, is when there's an also eligible that's not an MTO that's entered for turf, I'll treat them as if it's in the body of the race, because I think you have to do that. If the draw's in, you don't want to have a horse that's coming into the race that would have been 2-1 listed at 10-1. It's just more confusing that way. If a horse is an MTO, I just do the odds for the turf half of the entry, because it's going to be difficult to fit it in for dirt anyway. When I'm making the morning lines odds for MTO horses, I do try to see who's going to come out of the race or predict that. If a horse has only turf form, they're probably going to scratch. I'll make the odds and try to fit them into the dirt horses in the race based on that. But with entries, I really do just default to the turf half of the entry in those situations.
So is it convention that you can't really split them up?
Yes, it's actually, you're not allowed to do it in the system. So they've got to have the same odds.
Yeah, that's what I wondered, because it seems like given that scenario, it would make sense if you could split them up, but you never see it.
Yeah, so. In off the turf races, it's really, you just kind of have to let it go. I mean, they're not going to be right, and you have to accept it at that point. Yeah.
All right, give us the nuts and bolts. I mean, what is your job? What does it entail? The card is drawn, the entries come out, take it from there. What do you do?
I typically will either print them at the track or get home at about 5 or 6 o'clock and just start to go through the races. Doing the morning line for me, it takes probably like 3 to 4 hours because the racing up here is so complicated. It's a little bit easier at Aqueduct and Belmont, but with so many two-year-old races and first-time starter races up here, I really do try to dive into those and get them as accurate as possible. I think it is... At least I try to make it a help to the public to really know what's going on in the two-year-old races, because I think that's the area where I can be of most assistance, because I know everyone's not diving into the workout reports and the pedigrees and the sales workouts and the trainer stats, and I try to sort of weigh all of those factors and try to get those right, but it's still hard because there's some horses that you just don't have enough information on. You have to make a bit of a guess.
The buzz horse.
Yeah, the buzz horse.
Who they know, but somehow you and I aren't part of that.
No, and then with all the other races on the card, not with first-time starters, I mean, it's still pretty difficult because I kind of have to bifurcate my brain and save the handicapping for later and just think, okay, how is the public going to approach this race? What do I know from the past? How have they bet these horses in the past? What's changed today? Who's coming off the claim? And there's just so many factors, and I just try to have to weigh them and put the right emphasis on the right things depending on the situation to mirror the betting odds as closely as possible, because for me, that's the ultimate goal. I'm not trying to tell you who the winner of the race is in the morning line. I'm just trying to predict how you're going to bet the race.
Yeah, and that's an important factor for folks who are new to the game. You aren't handicapping the race necessarily. You're giving your opinion of what the opinion of the betting public is going to be.
Yeah, a victory for me is when the horse that I make 2-1 on the morning line actually goes off at 2-1. Yeah.
And so that's interesting. The two-year-old races, you do jump into it at that level where you're looking at the workout reports and you're keeping trainer stats and whatnot and maybe looking at the two-year-old sale workouts and that kind of thing.
Yeah, for instance, there's a seventh race tomorrow at Saratoga that's really interesting, a 6.5-furlong race for two-year-olds with a bunch of firsters. And I did some things in that race that maybe are a little might pique your interest. There's a horse for Graham Motion that earned an 80 buyer in its debut, finishing second to Another Miracle. Irish Mias is his name. Typically, a horse like that would be a strong favorite with a speed figure like that in his debut. But there's a Todd Pletcher horse in this race named Candy Tycoon, who there's a little bit of a word out that this horse can run. I do watch the workouts that are available on XBTV. That's a great resource for me to see how the horses have been working. And this horse, Candy Tycoon, has just been destroying some workmates in those drills together. So it seems like this is probably one of Todd Pletcher's better two-year-olds, if not his best two-year-old. So I made him the slight favorite over the horse that had run, even though that horse, Irish Mias, has pretty strong form.
And then Chad and Klarovich have a first turn there.
Yeah, and I made that one a higher price than I normally would because it's coming in from Monmouth, and typically we think of Chad Brown's B-string being at Monmouth at this time of year.
Yeah, interesting. Give us the number situation, because you have a certain set of numbers that you have to match up to with the morning line.
Yeah, so people refer to them as points that the line has to add up to when you're doing the math. You account for the takeout, because it's not just the percentage of what the odds would translate to add up to 100. There's also takeout. So typically when you take all of that into account, all of the points add up to somewhere between 119 and 128. I tend to go to the higher side of that because the odds are they're rounding down when you're looking at the morning line. A horse that's 2-1 could actually be 2.4-1. So you actually have a few more points to play with. So I typically have my line set up to somewhere between like 124 and 129. And that seems to work out pretty well for me. And when they bet the race close to the line, that actually is able to mirror it pretty well.
Next Tuesday there will be the Travers draw, and typically the line comes out at the draw, so I'm assuming you're kind of looking at the nominations and those big races that have the draw ahead of time, and then want the line for the betting public and the media pretty closely after the numbers are drawn. You're probably, as I say, looking at the nominations and ready to go from that.
Yeah, people start asking me like a week out who's going to be the Travers favorite. I try not to think about it until the last minute because I don't want to base opinions on horses that are not running in the race. And just yesterday we received some news about horses that are dropping out of the Travers. So I don't want to have the work done and have to do it over again. So probably sometime around Sunday or Monday, I'll print out all the PPs of the horses that are likely to run in the race and try to make some opinions about it. In a race like that, post position doesn't matter too much, so I can do it ahead of time without any real regrets about it.
We were talking before we went on the air, your workload, and what is a typical card up here? You know, we're also talking about at Saratoga, 10 and 11 races aren't unusual. What is your workload when the draw is made and you start jumping in? How many hours do you spend putting a morning line together for one card?
I'm a bit of a night owl, so I tend to stay up pretty late doing the morning line. I try to get it done at night, and then I'll also do some analysis. But I try to break up doing the morning line and the analysis of the same card to different days, and I can do that a little bit up here, even with the deadlines. So I will have done the Saturday morning line on Wednesday night, and then I'll try to wait until Thursday to actually do most of the handicapping, because I think that helps me a little bit to sort of separate how I think the public's going to bet a race as opposed to thinking about my opinions, which sort of comes after for me.
First full summer in Saratoga?
That was last year, so okay. This is my second full one. It was kind of overwhelming last year with the 6 days a week. I appreciate the 5 days a week a little bit more. I know some people have opinions about that, but I'm not complaining.
So I at the supermarket the other day buying some groceries. I was in buying my groceries as well, but one of the nice things about Saratoga, plenty of nice restaurants. You got a favorite?
I've started going to Hamlet and Ghost a little bit more this year. That's I like a fancy cocktail now and then, and they definitely can satisfy that, and they've got great food as well. So that's probably my new favorite.
Yeah, down on Caroline Street.
Yeah, yeah.
Certainly, as I say, lots of options out there. All right, let's jump in and get some opinions for tomorrow. We'll work our way back stakes-wise. Tomorrow, obviously, Alabama Day. And while we talk, I'm going to pull up a replay. I had Mike Welch on yesterday, and we looked at a replay of Point of Honor running second in the Coaching Club American Oaks behind Guarana. And I think off of that effort, Point of Honor is going to take a lot of action. Mike was talking also about Dunbar Road and the win in the Mother Goose, so I thought I'd pull that up and let people get reminded of that one because it was back at the end of June. Dunbar Road is the number one horse here, getting it done by a chart margin of over two lengths and only the fourth career start. This was the third win. It's Chad Brown, so certainly Dunbar Road also expected to take a lot of action. Champagne Anyone could be a little bit interesting in here as well. Off topic for Todd Pletcher, off the third in this Coaching Club American Oaks. What are your thoughts on tomorrow's Alabama?
So I would say the two most likely winners are pretty obviously Point of Honor and Dunbar Road. We'll see how the public bets the race. I know the Chad Brown factor might drive down Dunbar Road's price a little bit, and she's the one with the real upside. Maybe being almost 4-for-4 in her career, she just has that one half-length loss to Champagne Anyone. So she really does have the upside. I think they're the two most likely winners, but when you go through this race, it's not like they have some huge speed figure edge over the rest of this field, and I feel like they might bet the race like they're 8-to-5 and 5-to-2 or 9-to-5 and 2-to-1, and there are some other horses that are going to be in that 6-to-10-to-1 range or 12-to-1 range that really do have a chance. I ended up picking Street Band on top. I was never this horse's biggest fan through the spring, but I feel like she's really hitting her stride now for Larry Jones. She had a terrible trip at the Kentucky Oaks. It doesn't really even note it in the chart comments, but she was very rank in the early going. She was wide. She was trying to slot in behind Jaywalk in the early going, and that filly didn't want to settle either. So it was just kind of a nightmare scenario for Sophie Doyle, who couldn't get her to settle down. And then last time out, I know it was a weak field in the Indiana Oaks, but she won that race so easily. She just looked like a winner every step of the way. We'll see about the 10 furlongs. That's a question for all of these horses, but I feel like she hasn't run significantly slower than Dunbar Road or Point of Honor, and she's going to be a much better price.
Sophie Doyle into ride, that would be a great story as well.
It would, and Larry Jones doesn't ship too many horses to New York anymore, and I think it's meaningful when he does take a shot like that.
I had a morning line question, and now I've forgotten what it was. As we were talking, I'll remember it before we get through the next race, yeah, because it was a good question. Now I got to remember it. But let's go back to the Lake Placid. And, again, we talked a little bit about this with Mike Welch yesterday. Obviously, blowout and the other
Regal
Chad
Glory.
Regal yeah. Glory are the two horses coming out of the Lake George, but it was a three-horse field in the Lake George. They ran well. It was a Chadfecta, as it were, in there, as he had all three horses in that Lake George. So Blowout and Regal Glory, but I did want to pull up. I mentioned a horse yesterday, and we'll see, because this horse is cross-entered out at Del Mar, but Vicky Oliver brings in Wildlife, potentially. The five-horse winning at Ellis Park on July 26th. We'll watch the stretch run there. It was only the third career start, second win of the career. Obviously, the horse has to step it up a little bit, but I think if they elect to come up here, that may be significant. And again, being lightly raced, maybe there is some upside potential. It goes to the Chad horses, but I'm just saying, if you're looking for an alternative, I thought Wildlife might be a little bit interesting. What were your thoughts on Lake Placid?
Yeah, I spent some time looking at Wildlife, actually, and I watched this win and was pretty impressed by it. She made this wide run from off the pace, and she was beating older horses that day, which you don't see a lot of these three-year-old fillies doing at this time of year. She's interesting. I didn't put her in my top four, but she's a horse that I think you'd have to consider if she ran here. I do think it's mostly between Blowout and Regal Glory. It's kind of funny to watch the Lake George, because it's almost like they set it up like a morning workout for Chad Brown's horses, where Regal Glory was supposed to win the race. They sort of set it up for her by having a Blowout sort of taken out of her game to go to the lead, and Regal Glory just sort of got to track in behind them and make the last run, which is the run that you want to be making in these turf races. We'll see if she handles the stretch out to a mile and a 16th. I know she's really been more of a miler, sort of 6-furlong horse in the past. I like Blowout. I've always liked this filly. I just thought being on the lead wasn't really what she wanted to do in the Lake George last time, and maybe today she can slot in behind a horse like Amandrea or Vow to Recover, or just stalk those horses 3 wide or 2 wide. And she's got a lot of fight in her. She's really gritty. You saw 2 back in the Wild Placid. Her stablemate Nova Soul came to her like she was going to run by her in the final 1/8 of a mile, and Blowout really dug in and fended her off, and I just think she's got a lot of fight in her, and will be able to hold off her stablemate today if she gets a more favorable trip.
Very good. And I thought of my question, and then I added another question to it as you were talking about the buyers in the Alabama. I think, as I handicap, and we talk on the handicapping show about we anticipate what horses will take money, buyers to me over the last, I don't know, decade or so have become much more of a tool for the betting public, and I think they tilt a lot towards the buyer figures. Do they play into your morning line?
Totally. I'm a fan of the buyer figures. I think it's a great baseline to start looking at speed figures by using them. And I agree. I think the betting public really does pay attention to those. So when I'm trying to see who's the fastest horse in the race and kind of thinking about that component of the morning line, I really am mostly looking at the buyer figures.
And personalities, Chad Brown and Klarovich, Todd Pletcher, personalities I think have to play a factor too, and maybe up here more than other venues.
Yeah, it's really, for the betting public, it's about trust, and people know they can trust Chad Brown up here, so basically every Chad Brown horse that looks like a contender might get bet down to be the favorite because they just trust Chad Brown to win these races more than some other trainers.
Yeah. All right, let's finally look at the Smart and Fancy tomorrow. Fillies and mares on the turf at 5.5 furlongs, and again, hopefully we hold on the turf. Yesterday we looked at the Caress with Morticia, who just had all kinds of trouble in that race. She was best. I used her that day. Tyler Gaffalione, I thought, did the right thing and tried to save ground around the turn, and usually things will separate and you get a spot to go. They just didn't. He had a wall through the entire stretch and no place to go. I thought she was best in there. You've made her even money on the morning line, and I think Mike Welch, as we talked yesterday, said, yeah, every trip handicapper who watches races is going to be keying on her. So I think she's interesting, but what were your thoughts on the Smart and Fancy?
You can't get too great of an edge as a trip handicapper up here because everyone sees these trips and everyone talks about them. And Morticia was even money last time. There's no significant form in the race this time, so I think she's probably going to be around that price once again. I tried taking a small shot against her last time. I agree she probably should have won that race, and I'm not trying to beat her this time because the difference here is that you don't have a speed horse like Mamanu in the race. Maybe Firekey goes from the rail, but she's not really that fast, and you've got Blinkers On with Broadway Run on the outside, but again, she's not really a need the lead type, and I think Irad Ortiz, who's the new rider on Morticia, might just be best served to put her on the lead and just ride her like she's the best horse, because I think she is just the best horse in this race. The only other one that I would use at a price, or well, not that big of a price, she might be the second choice, is the number 7, Oleksandra, because I was really impressed by her races at Belmont. She overcame dynamics, overcoming slow paces in both of those allowance wins. wins. In the Royal North at Woodbine last time, I think what got her beat is that she didn't have Joel Rosario, because he really seems to have the key to this horse. She needs a very patient ride and make that final late burst of speed to the front. I don't know if she can do it in a race with not a lot of pace like this, but she's the other one that I want to use.
Well, you got that one 3 back, 23-45 for turf sprinters. Yeah. To close into that's pretty good.
I was looking at the Trackus figures that do give you the final quarter mile times, and she came on her final quarter in 21 2/5 seconds that day. So she can really motor at the end of a race.
Be worth taking a look at. Yeah. All right, David, again, appreciate it, and also appreciate the Morning Line conversation. Keep up the good work on the Morning Line. We will look for you a few more times sitting in the pregame show with Andy at the meet and beyond. Appreciate the visit this morning.
Great talking to you.
David Aragona, New York Racing Association Morning Line, and also, as I say, pregame show with Andy on various days. That'll lead us into our break when we come back. Liana Bonavita, again, WTEN sports reporter, and she and I give out some picks on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday evenings on the WTN 6 o'clock newscast. We'll talk about her work up here at the racetrack and more. Stay tuned.
Like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contest, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Friday morning, Saratoga. Again, still a little overcast, but no rain. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that that plays out through the rest of the day, and I think it's supposed to. So as promised before the break, joined now by my friend Liana Bonavita, sports reporter for WTEN. Every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they see us up on the stand by the finish line, tossing out some picks. And as I said, when you sat down, now I'm the host and you're the guest. Usually it's the other way
around.
And I
get to see you in the morning, which is fantastic for me. This is my favorite time to be at the track.
Yeah,
so.
And usually the horses are working out right behind us when we're sitting here. It's a great, not only a great time to be, but we're in a great spot as well. It's always a lot of fun. And we'll talk a little bit about your day at the track in just a moment. Before we do that, as always, I do a little bio research and checked on the internet a little bit, and I was interested to read that as a kid, you lived in Singapore for a year. Were you old enough to have Singapore memories?
Oh, yeah. So I was in half of fifth grade when I went over to Singapore. And it's funny because when you're a kid, you don't appreciate it as much as I think I would if I went back now as an adult. I remember the smells being obviously foreign, but, you know, those were some of the things that I remember. But their holidays were really cool out there. And the thing about Singapore is that it's a business kind of country, so there are people from all over the world. It's actually almost rare that you meet a Singaporean. Our apartment complex had people from Australia and New Zealand and Europe and all over Asia, as opposed to just Singapore. So I met friends from everywhere, which was pretty cool.
Nice. I'm assuming then an English-speaking school, like an international
American school. I went to SAS, Singapore American School, which it wasn't just Americans, but it was all English-speaking and easy for me. Although we did take Chinese, and I don't remember much.
Hello? Can you?
Ni hao.
All right. Well, yeah. Get away with
Ni hao ma is how are you. Yeah.
Good. take us a little further along, because again, you graduated from USC, and I read that SU, my alma mater, was in the mix, but then you made a switch and headed to USC. Talk a little bit about that, and what got you into sports broadcasting.
Okay, well, so SU was on the list partly because, I'm from New Hampshire, so I'm from the Northeast. It's one of the schools that Newhouse, everyone knows, if you want to go into sports broadcasting, it's, or communications in general, it's a really good school to go to. So,
Bob Costas.
Exactly. That was on my list, and what I did is I went to a summer college program there, which was between my junior and senior year of high school, and I took a bunch of classes, and I found out what it was like to live on a college campus and all of that, and I loved it. I loved my time at Syracuse during those 6 weeks, and so I figured, hey, that's where I'm going to go. So when I got accepted, I threw my deposit in, and that's where I was going to go. And but I'd obviously applied to several other schools, and USC was another one that accepted me, and it felt like once my deposit was in that, I'd sort of been there and done that, and everything I thought about college was that you're going to go off and do this brand new experience and try something new. And I figured, well, this is the Northeast. I've been here. And while I loved it, maybe it's time for me to start something new and try my hand at something I'm uncomfortable with a little bit. So I moved out west to USC, to California. And I would say nothing against Syracuse. It was the best decision I ever made, just to be that far away, experience what it was like to live in Los Angeles. And I mean, the athletics, the school itself, my program was wonderful. So that's that. And then just sports and getting into sports reporting. Before I even applied to my colleges, I knew that's what I wanted to get into. So I was lucky. Not every kid when they're in high school knows what they want to do when they grow up. So I applied to colleges with that in mind. And it wasn't something that I think a lot of people in my business knew they wanted to do this from the time they were itty bitty. They were young. That wasn't me either. So I was kind of in the middle. I was in high school, and my uncle, as everyone does, asks you, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I had heard it so many times, and I just didn't know. And I said, Uncle, I don't know what I want to do. He said, okay. So, well, what don't you want to do? And that's a question I had never heard of before. So I, listed a couple things. He said, well, what do you like? Just throw out some random things. So I said, well, I love sports, and I love stories, and I love telling them and talking to people. And he said, well, it kind of sounds like communications and that industry. And he said, well, with that in mind, you want to like what you do every day. So with that in mind, what would you want to do? Your dream job. He said, I don't care what it is. You could be the president of the United States. What is your dream job? And I said, I guess it would be to be a sports reporter. He said, then do it. And that's what made me go to Syracuse for that summer college program, and the rest is history.
Now you're living the dream.
Yes.
So
now
to speak.
I'm living my dream, yes. And I do love it. Still.
And you wound up here in Albany, obviously. You've been with WTEN for a while now, and we're kind of tied into that. We're our 1250 is one of the WTEN WXXA digital channels, so we're part of that package as well a little bit. I'm tied in when I had my own production company. We did a restaurant review show that was on WTEN, so I'm tied in as well. And,
I would love that. A restaurant show? Do you get to eat?
Well, that was one of the perks, yes. We would go in the morning so no people would be there, and we'd have them fix up five or six of their top dishes.
Sign me up.
And by the time we ended, it was just a little before lunchtime, and there were five of the six did. And so we would, that was certainly one of the nice perks. But one of the guys who also did voiceovers for us for a long time, that show and some others, Bob Gordon, who was before your time, but he used to be the weatherman for years at WTEN. Now it's Caparizzo and Tim.
And he's been there for years.
So he's the guy people remember now. When I was a kid, Bob Gordon was around. But again, kind of tied in various ways with WTEN. You're obviously on the track every day covering the races. And WTEN does a great job. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the live broadcast from out by the paddock is set out there. So you guys
and
do great.
Saturday morning and our Saturday 6 o'clock, too. So we've, over the course of the years, since we started our live broadcasting our shows from up here at the track, it's grown. And we have our set right by Champions Way there where the horses come down. It's such prime real estate at the track. And I love it there. Anytime, year to year, I'm like, make sure you get our spot back. This is my favorite spot. So, I would say of all the local news stations covering Saratoga, we do it second to none. So
yeah, I mean, it's great coverage. It's great to have the local media out here on a regular basis like that. As you say, you're in a great location. Also, I see Caparizo a lot doing the weather and then talking to the people as they walk by.
That's his favorite part.
It's just, a great spot with the horses walking by and people and whatnot. You and I at the 6 o'clock, 6:20-ish, the sportscast are out on the stand by the finish line. That's a lot of fun, too. Typically, we had been with the last race was typically behind us. Now with the expedited post times, it's
seems
a little
like
quiet.
It's done. I know. It's kind of strange, but not awful. I do like a little bit of the action behind us. But there will be some of those other days where, you know, it's a longer card. You know, with the nine race cards, it's going to be done.
Yeah, yesterday with the nine race, it was quick. But, it's fun when there's a little juice behind us and whatnot. But hopefully, either way, we're giving out some good information. I had a little run last week.
Last couple of days.
But hopefully today we can turn it around a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about your day, and I pulled up a picture I had taken. I was trying to find a picture of you out in the winner's circle.
Okay.
And normally I'm much closer to the action, so I'm either right next to you or maybe in front. But I found one. There you are on the right side.
Oh,
I had a picture
where
you've got the camera up on your shoulder. And, again, I used to have a television production company for years, and my days was 3/4 inch. I had a big deck over my shoulder, and I had the camera.
My phone underneath my arm because I didn't have pockets.
You get the phone and the camera, and you're out there in the winner's circle. Again, typically after the big races and not only doing the reporting, but you're also doing some of the camera work. That's television production in the 21st century. Talk about your day up here at Saratoga.
Oh, goodness. It depends on the day, obviously. So if I'm here in the morning, it makes it a much longer day. But this is, as I said, my favorite time. So if I'm in the morning, I'm here in the morning, chat with some trainers, get some video, and then generally turn a piece for our trackside report, which airs in our 4 o'clock hour. So actually, our 5 o'clock hour. So 5:15, that'll go on. And I'll be here and I'll do that. But then it's, you know, getting the stakes race of the day. So depending on what time that is, I'll go, as you saw, grab my camera, go run out, shoot that race, get the interview afterward, run back to our set, edit it, write it, send that back to the studio back in Albany so that they can put it in the show, and then get back up to our winner's circle little podium there right next to the winner's circle on trackside so that we can do the 6 o'clock. So it's fun is what it is. It's constantly moving. And those are the days that I like the best. Travers Day. I mean, that's a whole different animal because there isn't just, you know, one or two races that I'm looking for that day. We're getting all the big ones. So,
and running back and forth. There's a crowd you have to juggle through.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's the hardest part. I will say I haven't had any bad experiences this year. You know, you generally put the camera above your head so you don't, because you don't want to hurt anyone. That's my issue. You know, this is a massive thing, or hurt the camera, right? My station wouldn't want that. You know, excuse me, coming through, and people look at me like I'm crazy. But getting from our podium down to the winner's circle and then back to our set, it's a bit of a production, but like I said, if for whatever reason you see me on the air and I'm sweaty and my hair's not done and my makeup's not perfect, please just be patient with me. Cut me a little bit of a break. That's what's going on.
Typically it all works out well, but both you and I have just made it in the nick of time to the
that's all that matters.
Exactly. Nobody knows the difference. No. You walk in and you smile and it all looks good.
The only time they really realize is if I'm out of breath, which has happened from time to time.
I came pretty close the other day. You sent me a text. I'd completely forgotten about it. I'm like, oh, I had to make a rush down from the press box, but got there in plenty of time.
Oh, and you're a pro. Pro's pro.
Couple of seconds to spare. Talk about, you know, you've been here at the track now for a while. Were you a horse racing fan before you came to this area?
No, this will be a big tell. And maybe I shouldn't tell this story to people. And if my former sports director, Rich Becker, is listening, he might get a kick out of this. But the very first day I ever came to Albany, my first day at work, I was talking to my then boss, Rich Becker, who is wonderful. I love him to pieces. But he was saying, you know, we're talking about interns, and he said there are only a couple of days a year that he doesn't let his interns have off. And he said, you know, Travers Day being one of them. And the first thing I thought in my mind was, what the heck is a Travers? I was like, what's Travers Day? But I knew better than to say anything. I didn't say anything out loud. I went back and I Googled it, and I was like, oh, there's something called Saratoga up here. And apparently horse racing is a big deal. And And it wasn't my very first experience with horse racing. I'll get to that in a second. But I did realize at that point how big of a deal it was. And that was 7 years ago. I came here in February 2012, so 7.5 years ago. And since then, you know, it's like anything else. You immerse yourself in it. And I have grown to love the sport. It's a different world with different lingo and a whole different set of basically a new language that you kind of have to learn. It's like going out if you're going to be go abroad for a semester, per se, to like Spain. You know, your first couple weeks is going to be a little bit tough because you have no idea what people are talking about, but then you figure it out, and then it gets to be a little bit more fun. Yeah. And so that's kind of where I am now. I love this game. I feel like I know it pretty well. Not as well as you, but pretty well. And so I really enjoy it. But my very first experience ever with horse racing was my father took me to, we lived in the Boston area, so New Hampshire, and he took me to a track there, and it was on Kentucky Derby Day. And so they let me pick a horse on for the Kentucky Derby, and I was looking, you know, at all the past performances, and I couldn't read them because I had no idea what the heck I was looking at, but I could read. And so I said, oh, I like that horse right there, Charismatic. And it went off at 20 to 1, I think, and I won.
Hooked
for life.
The
Kentucky Derby. I know. I don't think I've ever won since, but okay.
That's the quintessential story there of getting into the game, the kind of dartboard pick, and then it wins, and I'm in for life, as it were. And, of course, horse racing up here is our major league sport, so that's one of the reasons that you guys have such a presence up here and makes the sportscasting fun as well.
Not to mention, one of the things I love about this is, of the major league sports, the access that you have to the best in the business is second to none, and I love that. Everyone that I've worked with has been wonderful.
Yeah, it's and some local folks, Chad Brown, John Morrison, the winner of yesterday's stakes race, a local guy.
Shaker grad.
Roddy Valente, a prominent owner also. But not the only sport you cover the rest of the year. And so I also wanted to, I went down your Twitter feed and I pulled up some shots just from this past Sunday because you were covering it. I wanted a little insight. We're all plugged into the racetrack, but I did catch on the news. Albany Empire.
Oh, yeah.
Bring the title home.
The Arena Bowl.
Arena football last Sunday. And then I guess you had a couple of them in the studio with the trophy. And we have a shot of it also. I didn't even know this was a thing. They have a belt.
This is new this year.
The trophy
I asked
belt.
Them about that. Yeah, it almost looks like a wrestling belt, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that you brought that one up there. I said I had nothing to do with earning these, but when they come to the studio, you might as well take a picture. So the belt is new this year, the Arena Bowl trophy. Those guys are fantastic. They are they get what the community really means to them and the support that Albany has given them. I mean, Albany, we think our little city, but that's really where an arena football team can thrive because we don't have that other big sports team here. You know, that's the one. So during the summer, I was a little bit, full disclosure, I wasn't around during the Firebirds, and I hear that the Firebirds was crazy when they were here. And in fact, before the Arena Bowl, I talked to Touchdown Eddie Brown, who happened to be there, and he was on that Firebirds team that won it in 1999, and I said, you know, this is pretty exciting. This is cool. And he said, oh, yeah, this team is going to be great. I think it's going to be a great night. And it was about 15, 30 minutes before the game. And he said, the difference is this place would have already been full back in 99. I said, oh, that's interesting. That said, 13,000 people plus for the Arena Bowl on Sunday. Yeah, it was a good crowd. Yeah. And they do a really good job for families that go there. They had a whole bunch of fun little things with, you know, the baby shark, which, I mean, I'm a new mom, so it got to me a little bit. And they have the Lion King circle of life where everyone lifts up their kids in between. And it's cool the way that they do it if you watch a broadcast on TV for the Arena Bowl because they're interviewing players during the game, which never happens in the NFL or college football. That just doesn't work. And they have cameras on the field and all of that. So it's different. But again, like Saratoga was different. You embrace the new, and it can be pretty cool, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, as I say, I'm so plugged into Saratoga. I knew the game was going on. I followed it. I picked up the coverage Sunday night also on WTEN, but it was fun to see the trophy, the belt, and just to have that kind
of
thing
happen down
points. In Albany. And that's what's fun about that. I said to you, I got to have to get down and watch. You know, I was a quarterback in high school, and I like that whole thing where you can throw it into the net and get the guy to.
Yeah.
It's a whole different kind
element.
Of a thing, and I got to get down to some games next season, I think. Before we let you go, you already alluded to it, new mom. When we walked off the set for the last time last year, you were expecting. And we have a shot here, and I'll let you brag a little bit about the new addition to the family.
Oh,
you had her at the track the other day,
her.
And super cute.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's my beautiful little miss, Sienna Leanne. And that was her first time driving our boat. you know, she's already a pro, one-handed and all. She thinks she's too cool. But see that smile is kind of how she is. And I'm not just saying this. 90-95% of the time, my husband and I always say to each other, we lucked out with this one. You know, if we want to have another baby, we're running the risk of ruining something really good here, because she's just a good baby. She's never really given us any issues, and she's 9 months tomorrow. Alabama Day for the ladies, so, like, there you go. So she's 9 months tomorrow, and this is just a really fun age. She's pulling herself up onto furniture and walking along furniture. Yeah. She's not walking on her own, but she's crawling everywhere, and she's so close to speaking. She doesn't have any teeth yet, so every baby's different. Some are ahead in some ways, behind in other ways, but she has that. We're taking her to the doctor on Monday, and so we'll see. It's funny, you know, you look forward to going to the pediatrician, you know, to find out how much she weighs and how she is, and she's the light of our lives, and she's pretty cool.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank
there.
You.
And Leanna enjoyed the visit this morning. As I say, I get to be the host and you be the guest.
Thank
Usually
you for
it's the other
me.
Way
this
around
is a lot of fun.
By the finish line. But I also wanted to bring you on a little bit and just tout what WTEN does, because, again, it's a great benefit, you know, have local media like that concentrate on the racing game. It helps us evangelize the game a little bit. And you guys all do a great job.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
We try our best.
All right. You can check us out tonight. I'll see you later.
I will see you at 6.
About 6:20-ish WTEN tonight. We'll give out some thoughts for tomorrow. All right. We'll go to a break. When we come back, Jonathan Kinchin is in the house. I see him in the green room. Handicapper extraordinaire, contest player, very potent there as well. Now member of the Fox Sports MSG NYRA team doing Saratoga Live. We'll talk about all of that and more right after this. Stay tuned.
Looking for a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouth-watering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by Jonathan Kinchin. Again, I said, handicapper extraordinaire, a potent contest player, and now part of the NYRA Saratoga Live broadcast team. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, you've been on the broadcast team for a while now. You joined before Saratoga, and you were kind of their point man at various places around the country. Your home track of Lone Star, I saw you there earlier this spring, and then out at Churchill. It's been fun being part of the show?
Yeah. No, look, it's something that was never really planned. I never, you know, I was never like, hey, I'm going to try to do this. It just, Tony Alivato reached out and last summer when I was here and asked me if I wanted to do a guest spot during Alabama last year, and then we stayed in contact, and then this year it was kind of the full meal deal. So like you mentioned, I was down at went to Santa Anita a couple times, went to Lone Star, which was obviously surreal being that was like my home track, and then also Churchill quite a bit. So it's been fun, man. It's a lot of fun. It's crazy that you know, I used to come to Saratoga and dream of like being here for the whole summer, and now I'm here for the whole 8 weeks.
Yeah, give us your impressions. First full-time summer up here at Saratoga.
It's a lot different, right? Because when you come for a weekend like I've done so often, or a couple weeks or a week, you feel pressured to like go out every night. You feel pressured to like, you got to go to this dinner, you got to do this, you got to get up and do that. And when you're here like more long term, you can kind of just take your time and go through it and really kind of enjoy it. So it's been great. I've really enjoyed it a lot.
And speaking of that, I went to your Twitter feed last night and I pulled up a shot, and I think the guys have it. I laughed because it was an apartment. You guys weren't out, but I did like the fact that away from the racetrack, you had a horse racing board game that you were
playing. Wow. Yes.
Can't get away from the track, even when you're home.
Yeah, my buddy Peter Thomas Fornatel, who I co-host the In the Money Players podcast with, he has this, and his daughter wanted to play, and it is phenomenal. If you see the dark spots there, those are like track biases. So if you land in one of those, it slows you down, but you can also use sideways moves to go around it. We had a blast.
When I was a kid, when I was in high school, one of my friends had a board game, and it was pretty similar to this. I got to look it up. I think it was called Win, Place, and Show. I've seen it on eBay since, but not in a while. But it was a similar type of idea, and we jump in and play that every once in a while too. So, but I found it hilarious that, yeah, even away from the track, they got the horse racing board game.
It was a blast.
Also, when I was looking at your feed, and if people pull it up, they can watch the video, but I just wanted to note, and I thought it was a lot of fun, you and Greg Wolf had Kendrick Carmouche on and interviewed him. He's great. I've had him sitting here. As I say, if they go to your Twitter feed, UT Big Hair, they can go down and pull up. But that was part of the broadcast the other day. But Kendrick is great.
Oh, he's phenomenal. And all these riders are great, right? I have my son with me a majority of the summer. And so, you know, he'll walk by and Irad and Jose and Manny and Eric Cancel, and they'll all come say hi to him and say hello. Kendrick is one of those guys as well. He's just phenomenal. I think for a young fan who comes to the track and sees these guys as these kind of superstars, and for them to be as personable as they are. And Kendrick, if you see Kendrick in the morning and you're having a bad day, it goes away very, very quickly.
Yeah, big smile always. And you make a great point. We should reiterate that more often here. You talk about big league sport, and this is the big leagues of horse racing. You don't get access like this in any other sport, the access to the jockeys and the trainers and the owners and whatnot. And for the most part, they're all very friendly and happy to sign some autographs. And as I say, that's a special part of Saratoga.
Like, you know, this morning we went out on the golf cart and sat at a little picnic table with Eric Cancel and talked to George Weaver, who's going to have a horse that has a big shot tomorrow in the Alabama. And Austin, my son, was there the entire time just kind of taking it in. And went to dinner last night with Angel Cordero. So for him, he doesn't have a frame of reference, but he just knows that Angel's the king of Saratoga. Yeah. That's all he knows, and he was at dinner with him last night. So he's enjoying it.
You've alluded to it already, but I'll give you a chance to promo a little bit. We've had Peter Thomas Fornatel on with us talking about the In the Money podcast, but you're his co-host, so give that a little shot.
Yeah, so we do two shows a week. It's inthemoneypodcast.com. You can also get it on your iPhone podcast thing. We do it twice a week, kind of do a recap earlier in the week, and then we do a preview later in the week. We also have a breeding show we've started doing where we have Sean Tugel from Windstar Farm is one of the guys on there, and we'll just have kind of industry types to come on and talk about this, that, and the other when it comes to sales and breeding and stuff like that. So it's been a lot of fun. You know, we were formerly with the DRF, and then we kind of broke off on our own, and it's been fun. It's a fun thing to do every week, and the best part about it is when we walk around the racetrack, people just say, you know, hey, we listen to the podcast, yeah, we love it. So we're pretty proud of it.
Yeah, again, highly recommend it. I've listened to a number of them, and as I say, pop in and take a listen. In the Money podcast. I've talked about you as a contest player, 2015, I think it was. You had two seats at the final table. Yeah, that's got to be a claim to fame, too. You were so successful, they had to change the rules after
that. They did. They changed the rules, yeah.
But You kind of hit the scene there. Talk a little bit first about your background, how you became a horse racing fan.
Yeah, so we talked about earlier about Lone Star Park. My dad took me to Lone Star when I guess probably when I was like 14. Lone Star opened in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and we don't have any other form of gambling. And you know, everyone goes either Louisiana or New Mexico or Oklahoma. And so my dad just kind of liked the action. I think if there had been slot machines, he probably would have preferred that. He's that guy in front of you in line when you're trying to make your serious bet, and he's looking back at the TV to look at the odds. That's my dad. So,
I love that guy.
Yeah, yeah, that's my dad. And I'm so embarrassed sometimes. But so he used to take me all the time, and I just didn't really like it, to be honest, at the beginning. But then I kind of started to fall in love with the puzzle. And I think two big events that happened that kind of hooked me forever, which was when I was in college, University of Texas, there was a racetrack called Maynard Downs. It's no longer there. I drove over one day with $100. I bet $85 worth of stuff on Derby on a Fleet Alex, and then I had 15 left. I bet 5 across the board on Giacomo. He won. I bought the keg beer that evening for our buddies in college, and then I also ordered like 3 books on Amazon, and I started reading and just kind of playing. I was a $100 a weekend type of guy when I was in school, and then when I got a job and I started working, you kind of, you know, when you first get a job, you're kind of rich no matter what because you have no responsibilities. And I started playing a little bit more, and I hit an $84,000 pick 4 on Belmont Day when Drosselmeyer won. And then I started playing a lot more, and the rest kind of ended up to how we got here.
How did you get in the contest scene?
That was actually an unfortunate story where in Texas they outlawed ADWs. So on Saturdays, I would have to, like, drive down to Retama Park, which was 3 hours from Austin, an hour from Austin, to try to bet. It was just kind of annoying. Yeah. And so the contest scene started to kind of boom, and I started wanting, you know, just to have the action and to leverage opinions and whatever. So I started playing the contest. The first one I played in, I qualified for the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, and then I fell in love with seeing my name on the leaderboard and competing. And the biggest thing about the contest scene, I've said it a million times and I'll say it again, is that I had one friend in racing when I started playing contest, and now I have 500. You know, like last night I went to dinner with Angel Cordero, right? So that was because of contest. You meet different people, you meet different players, and you go to different events, and next thing you know, you got a lot of buddies in racing, and so my racing experience obviously improved.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it from listening to Bick's radio show covering the NHC. You got the feeling there that it was a room full of like-minded people, and we were lucky enough to go out and cover it for Capital OTB TV this past, and that's what it is. It's just you're in a room full. It's competitive, but everybody, there's also a certain level of camaraderie there that was a lot of fun.
It's a horse players convention, and there's a lot of horse players that do a lot of math, and the NHC is one of my favorite events, and for the rest of my life I'll try to qualify. But it's not so much, that event's not so much about the money. Okay, the day in, the day out, that's about the money. This is just a horse players convention like nothing you've ever seen, and you walk through everywhere and there's horse players everywhere. You sit in tables just surrounded by horse players. It's how I met the Matisse brothers, was through the NHC, and those two guys are my handicapping idols and also really good friends. So it's a phenomenal event, and if you've never been, you should at least come and hang out.
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
Come to Vegas, stay at, it's going to be at Bally's this year, stay at Bally's or Caesars or wherever you can get points or wherever you like to, and just come hang out, and then maybe the next year you'll try to qualify. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I keep saying I want to play more contests. I just don't have the time, but I'd love to play and see if I can punch my – have you punched your ticket this year?
I have, yeah. I qualified Belmont. I got 5th in the Belmont contest, so I've got one. And you can have 2, so I'll try along the way to get another one.
Did you play up here? Because I think I was watching the Saratoga live show. I usually watch the replay late at night when I'm back home. And it sounded like you said because you were on that, you felt
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I mean, I could have. I thought I was going to be more busy than I was with the show, with Saratoga yeah. Live. So I could have probably played. I didn't end up playing. I should have. I hit the early pick 5, the late pick 5. So I probably would have done okay. Yeah. But... whatever, it was fun. I had fun covering it. A buddy, Ed Peters, won, so that was fun to see him get the victory. He kind of did a wire job there. He got out to an early lead and extended his lead, and then got lucky late, and no one caught anything.
Yeah, I keep saying to people, I think the contests are fun. You have to think a little bit differently. Search for value. And I keep telling people who haven't tried contests yet, the low rollers is a great way to get initiated to it. I play that. As I say, I don't have time to play the major contests, but I do jump in for the low rollers every Sunday and Thursday up here, so it's a fun way to...
Those low rollers, what I learned, contest play changed my play as well. When I first started playing, I didn't believe in myself that I could find a 10-to-1 shot. I just didn't think I could. But the contest kind of forced you in that in that arena. And then once you start, oh, wow, there's a 10-to-1 shot. Oh, well, I got another one.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness, I can actually find a 10-to-1 shot. I had no idea that I was capable of doing that prior to playing in contest.
Yeah, that's interesting. I want to touch on one more nuts and bolts kind of thing before we get some ideas over the next couple of days. And again, I was reading your Twitter feed and I found this interesting. You recommended as kind of a handicapping tool, read the condition book, or in turn, be familiar with the conditions of a race, because that may kind of point you to some horses that otherwise you wouldn't consider.
Yeah, I'm glad you actually brought that up, because a couple of people misconstrued what I was saying. I understand conditions. The condition book, like actually understanding that, well, the mile and an eighth maiden special weight didn't go, so now we're running on the dirt, didn't go, so where else were we going to run? We ran on the turf. So I think if you can understand that from a jockey's agent's perspective or a trainer's perspective, there is some huge, huge opportunities in there, I think, with Nuggets. It's a very complicated thing to do, because if you're not at the draw, you didn't know that they had to use the extra race because this one didn't fill. You didn't know that they only had five and they had to hustle three to get in. I mean, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that I think could help. And so I'm going to spend the off season, not that there's ever really an off season, but outside of Saratoga, trying to really figure out a better way to have an understanding for the condition book. Because I think it makes a huge difference in why horses are in spots they're in.
And a lot of times it's a negative that'll kind of jump out at you. It's like, yeah, our race didn't go, but our horse is kind of tearing down the barn, so we're going in a tougher spot, but it's all that's available. So
it's one of my favorite parts about our show. You know, I'm on it, so I don't want to beat my chest too much, but I think Maggie and Acacia do a phenomenal job with their pre-race interviews and asking trainers and what, you know, why you're here, and owners why you're here. And a lot of times you'll get little nuggets. I remember the opening weekend, it was an off the turf race, and Linda was running a horse by the name of Pagliacci. And it was an MTO. Oh, excuse me. It was an off the turf race, and Linda pretty much said, like, I'm running because the owners are here, and they want to see the horse run. We're gonna run. They ran, and they didn't run very good. Then the horse ran back in a week and won when he got back on the turf. So, those are the types of things I think you could probably dig up with the condition book.
Yeah, interesting. All right, let's get some of your ideas for some of the races, some of the stakes over the next couple of days. Let's start with today's feature, the Skidmore 5.5 on the grass. I mean, it looks like it goes through another miracle. And I said, just for a handicapping angle also for people, given what Irish Mias did behind another miracle in the last race, Irish Mias goes, yes, it goes tomorrow. So if another miracle runs well, maybe you give an extra push to Irish Mias tomorrow. But as I say, off the first couple, another miracle looks tough to beat, but these are two-year-olds. All have the ability to step up being lightly raced. What are your thoughts on the Skidmore?
Yeah, I mean, I love another miracle as well. The only concern is Montauk Daddy is pretty fast as well. It could hook up. But another miracle ran a really fast number on the dirt on that off-the-turf race, was training on the turf prior to that. Obviously, this is the surface they want to be on. And in these 5.5 races, I think so often horse players look and say, oh, they're going to hook up and there's going to be a speed duel. Yeah. It's going to fall apart and my closer's going to win. And it never, ever materializes. I just think that you want to find the speed of the speed, and in my opinion, it's another miracle. I think a lot of people will probably fall for the Frosted Rose trap of that horse. Looks like he's going to pick up the pieces. And he absolutely could pick up the pieces if Montauk Daddy and another miracle hook up, but I just think another miracle is going to wire him in this spot. I think he'll be extremely dangerous.
The Frosted Rose negative for me was in one of those restricted, one of those auction price races. So it's hard to judge class-wise exactly what it was. A nice-looking race, but class-wise, I have some question marks. Alabama, let's work back from that one tomorrow. The Alabama, the highlight of the card, but there are a couple of stakes races we'll look at. But the Alabama, we've talked the past couple of days about this, taking a look at Dunbar Road, Point of Honor. I think Champagne, anyone's kind of interesting as well. David Aragona thought Street Band might be a little bit playable in the Alabama as well. What are your thoughts tomorrow?
Well, I think, you know, I got giggled at by Greg Wolf on the show the other day when I said that I'm not going to use Dunbar Road.
Okay.
And there's a reason why. Is Saratoga is about zigging and zagging Chad. It is what it is, because he's so dominant up here. He takes a lot of money. When you can beat him, you can make a lot of money. If you're going to use him, I always recommend singling him. If you're going to use him, I don't think that you should be using him with three other horses.
Okay.
I think it really hurts your equity in your bet. You either toss him or you use him. In a singling format. The inside has been not ideal for a majority of the meet. I think Lady Apple's in a Barry Dunbar Road down in there. But more importantly, I absolutely love Point of Honor's last race when she was chasing Guarana going a mile and an eighth in the Coaching Club American Oaks. I think the mile and a quarter is going to hit her right in between the eyes. She's drawn outside. She'll run all day. She was closing into a slow pace last time. I think she's going to be extremely tough. And then I give Champagne Anyone a look as well. I thought Chris Landeros rode that horse to win last time, got close to Guarana chasing that slow pace. That's not how she wants to win. If she was going to beat Guarana that day going a mile and eighth, that was how she was going to do it. It didn't work out, and I don't fault Chris Landeros for that ride at all. Now she's second off a break. She hadn't run since the Kentucky Oaks prior to that. She's been training well, and I think she'll have some pace to close into here with Lady Apple and some of the others. So those are the two that I'm going to use in this spot, and I'll just cross my fingers that Dunbar Road gets stuck down on the inside at 6-5. And if I can get through that leg, I'll be sitting pretty.
And I like the thought process, too. You either single a chat or someday we'll bring you in and sit down and talk betting strategy as well, because I say a lot of times on the show, handicapping is one part of the game, betting strategy is another, and a lot of people kind of think they're co-mingled, which obviously they are related, but I think they're two very separate parts of the game.
One of our favorite things we talk about on our podcast all the time is you'll see guys at coffee shops around town, the Horseshoe, you know, whatever, they got their form out at 8 a.m. and they're handicapping all morning, all night, and then they design their bet as they're walking to the window.
Yeah.
And I try to do it the other way around. I handicap quicker than most, I think, but I take forever formulating my bets. Because I think that that's where the value is. Everyone, look, everyone knows that Dunbar Road, Champagne Anyone, Street Band, and Point of Honor are the ones that have a good shot, but how are you going to wager on them? And that's where I think makes the difference. I think a lot of horse players make that mistake.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, always ask me, who do you like in this race? I don't know. I don't have an opinion. I like five. I'm gonna use five horses, and they, you know. But if I bet it better than you do, then I can use five horses.
Yeah, like I say, some morning we'll have you in here to talk. Maybe formulate a pick five or a pick four or something, and just see how you go through and the thought process there. All right, let's take a look at the Lake Placid tomorrow. Obviously, Chad with a couple in here, Blowout and Regal Glory. I said earlier on the handicapping show, Wildlife to me is interesting. Now, cross-centered out of Del Mar, but I think if Vicky Oliver brings this one in, Lately Race probably has to step it up, but being Lately Race, maybe at a price. If you're looking for an alternative, Wildlife to me, again, if they elect to come here, is maybe interesting, but what are your thoughts on Lake Placid?
I'm going to partially zag with Chad Brown here. Look, I think Regal Glory got the best of that weirdly run race with three horses. I don't think that she was the best in that race. I just think that Blowout and Dog Tag just kind of got out of their game, and Regal Glory just happened to be best in that 3-furlong sprint for home in a three-horse race. I like Blowout. I think Blowout's one of the most talented three-year-olds that Chad has. I think she's going to be tough in this spot. And I think Varinka is another one who I think is extremely talented. I think Varinka showed herself well last year running behind Newspaper of Record, who hasn't found her form, ran well in the Regret, where she was, you know, she kind of had a little bit of a trip closing into that slow pace. And then last time closing into a slow pace from the 11 hole where she ran really well. So I think she's a quality filly. I think she can run well. She finally has the insides, will save ground on both turns. I would like to get away with just using her in Blowout and trying to beat Regal Glory, who I think will be overbet based on the fact that she won that last race.
All right, there are some ideas for today and tomorrow's stakes-wise. Jonathan Kinchin, again, one of the prominent contest players in the country, punched his ticket already to Vegas. Hopefully we'll be back out there covering again because it was a lot of fun. Hopefully maybe I'll try a couple contests and I'll be playing. That would be even better.
It's more fun when you're playing.
We'll see how that works out. But appreciate the visit this morning. Keep up the good work on whenever I have somebody from the Saratoga Live Show and I say a great job. And
thank you so much.
Work. All right, we'll talk again.
Appreciate it.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. But she's in the green room, our friend Kim Weir, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. They have an event coming up next week. We want to alert you to that. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Friday morning. Going to wrap things up, but before we do, we've got a couple of minutes. And again, there's a Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation event coming up within the next few days. And I wanted to take the chance to promo that a little bit because one of our favorite racing charities and one of the folks we've had on to talk about them before. And once again, Kim Weir, our friend. Good morning.
Good morning, Seth. It's great to be here. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Here we are.
Two-thirds of the way through the meet, something like that, but still 14 racing days left, and again, it's a little overcast today, but I think it's going to turn out to be a nice day. The past couple of days have been pretty nice, and hopefully that continues over the next few days, because you do have the event coming up, and I'll let you tout coming up the barbecue event, which benefits the TRF. A couple other events that we'll hit on as well, but first, give folks, again, the info on the barbecue that's coming up, because A, it benefits the TRF,
yes.
But B, it's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. It's going to be very fun. This is our first ever TRF Summer Nights Barbecue at the Barn. It is indeed a barbecue. It is indeed at a barn. The barn is actually the Saratoga Winery. I don't know if you've been there, Seth.
I've driven by.
Yeah, it's right on 29.
Yep.
They've just built a beautiful barn for event space. So we're not kidding. It's actually going to be in a barn. And because it is about the TRF and our retired racehorses, we're bringing a couple of our summer herd to the party. They will be available for photos and meeting and greeting. They're really good at that. Joey is actually who's coming. He's our sweetest of the four that we have at our Saratoga Summer Farm. So it is Tuesday, August 20th. It is from 6 to 9. Very family friendly. Tickets are $30. We're doing raffle baskets and games for the kids and, you know, very cool. You can bring your jeans, wear your jeans, bring the family.
We'd love to have you. That's what we like, Saratoga events, wear. Dress casual,
yes.
Have fun.
Yes.
I'm assuming get tickets at the TRF website, but can folks get them at the door as well?
They can. We are definitely having a tremendous response to this event, so I would say I would encourage folks to buy them online because we are going to run up on space by Tuesday. But yes, if you have to, come at the door. We'll fit you in.
And again, Route 29 is there's the downtown post office, and then there's the post office that's on Route 29. Just on the edge of town, and that's where you drive by the post office another mile or so.
Yeah.
That winery is right out there. So head on out Tuesday for that event. What are the hours again?
They are from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Tuesday for the barbecue. So that should be a lot of fun. More food on the TRF agenda.
Yes.
Gumbo on the backstretch. We like that.
Yes, this is something we are so excited about. Our summer has been busy in many ways because many folks have become TRF ambassadors, including our JK, who was just on with you. But in this case, it is the colorful Cajun Mr. Eric Guillot and his brother Chip. They have a rather famous gumbo that they make. Many of you may have heard of this, but they are, in fact, cooking this fabulous gumbo on Friday, the 23rd, right before the Traverse. And it is this year going to be a celebration for the horses. It's going to, in fact, be a little benefit for the TRF. And it's something I've never had the chance to attend, so I'm very excited about
missing.
It. But I'll tell you this, I ordered the meats from Don Specialty Meats in Scott, Louisiana this week. I talked to them down there. They are excited, and it sounds like it's going to be great. So that's Friday, and we're all about food. So barbecue, then gumbo, and then, in case you feel you've done too much eating with the TRF, we're going to finish up the summer with our 5K walk run. You can walk it off. You can run it off. You can bring the dog. It's this is on Saturday of Labor Day weekend. And it is at Saratoga State Park. This is our 10th annual of this event. And it is very available for walkers. And I'm not saying anything specific here, Seth, but Bobby is going to walk. So I don't know what you're doing on Saturday the 31st. But
I would have to walk?
I would never. But actually, we're super excited also because our dear friend Ramon Dominguez ran the race last summer. He just smoked it. And he's come on as our honorary chairman for the race this year. So he will be there, and we hope that everyone will come.
I would think Saratoga Special guys, the Clancy's and Tom Law seem to do a lot of the running.
This
events.
Is a big thing. Yeah, yeah. We're going to try to do. We're doing little. You can sponsor a furlong, so you can have a team of five runners and sponsor a furlong. So we're trying to get the special guys to do that.
So I could get away only running for an eighth of a mile.
There you go. It's all
maybe
for the
intervals.
Horses. It's all for the horses.
Walk a furlong, run a furlong. Walk a furlong. That's actually why I will say I probably could run 5K.
Yes.
But running is not my thing necessarily. That's why I play basketball in the winter. When you're running with a purpose, but just running for the sake of running, I don't know. I don't.
Yeah.
But if you can go walk.
You can go walk, and it's a nice place. And plus, we have tons of horses. This is like a horse-horrific kind of event, as are all of our events. And we're grateful to talk about them this morning.
And
Seth,
I will remind folks as we go along. The Tuesday event, obviously, we won't get the chance necessarily.
Yep.
But the other events, we'll remind people as we go along in the gumbo. Highly recommended. It was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Gio and his brother were right back here. I mean, you could see them over our shoulder. They were 50 yards back there doing the gumbo. So as soon as the show was over, I and our guys in the trailer, we all went back, and we were back there for an hour reloading with gumbo and whatnot. But the hilarious part is it looks like clearly it's not. It's all sanitary. But it looks like he's making it in a garbage can and stirring it with an oar from a canoe. But it was all very, very good. And Gio and his brother, authentic Cajun gumbo. Highly recommend.
Well, we love that. These ambassadors for the horses. Anything fun we can do that raises awareness of our beautiful animals, we're grateful for it. And it's fun to have fun at the same time.
Yeah, and go to Google and just type in Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. You go to the website, donate that way if you just like to donate.
Yeah.
And as you say, and then we should remind people, you kind of alluded to the ambassadors, and you had the nice event before the season out at the Racing City Brewery that was kind of pulling in folks, and so we should remind people,
yeah,
if you're interested in horses, whether you want to be up close and pet them or just,
yeah,
do some things administrative-wise, you guys,
yeah,
are always looking for,
oh,
volunteers.
Oh, my gosh. And this summer, we've been so grateful. We've had, like, an army of volunteers, and there is room for everyone. We have a lot of volunteers at these events. But we have our TRF summer farm, and we've got folks out there who help with, you know, even selling the raffle tickets or selling the treats to feed the horses. So volunteers are always welcome, and they are our ambassadors. So please let us know. Reach out to me. Reach out to TRFinc.org if you're interested, because we do this all year long. We just do it intensely over the summer.
it's always a lot of fun, the events, and especially fun the last one I went to where I won the
50-50. Yes, that was all awesome.
I won the 50-50 raffle.
That can happen.
One of my better wins of the season so far. But again, the TRF event's always a lot of fun. And the Tuesday event barbecue at the barn, keep that in mind because it's coming up right around the corner.
We'd love to see you. Thank
appreciate
you, Seth.
The visit.
It's wonderful. Glad to be here.
All right, I'm going to wrap things up for this edition of the Friday Racing Across America. Don't forget, tomorrow morning we will be in with more programming. I should alert you to the events that are coming up before, and my computer is now blank, but I will quickly fire it up. Today, I know there is the Fan Appreciation Day at the Amsterdam branch, so keep that in mind. There is also, as I try to pull it up here, there we go. There's the Fan Appreciation Day at the Amsterdam branch today. That's on Main Street in Amsterdam. That goes from noon until 5. Swing on by so we can say thank you to you. First folks through the door get a bet voucher and giveaway items. There's a contest, food and beverage. That's today, noon until 5. The Amsterdam branch. Bounty bet also today, $300 up for grabs. Just play the late pick 5 with your Capital OTB bet account, and you're in for a shot at the bounty. Mike Callahan also has a $150 pick 5 bankroll. Today, more information at the website. Sully tomorrow has the $1,000 bankroll. Team's been selected, but tune in the afternoon for the cut-ins while Sully plays, and that'll be a lot of fun. Tomorrow at the Racebook, there's an Empire 6 promotion. Also, double promotion on Sunday at the Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. And with the Empire 6 mandatory on Sunday, I will also have $250 to play for 20 folks. Check out the website and sign up for your chance to be part of that Empire 6 mandatory on Sunday, part of the team. All right, again, tomorrow morning back in Racing Across. No, not Racing, it's Brian Netto tomorrow at 10 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, it's the Handicappers Report because it's a big Saturday. So tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, right back here at the network. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for Life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.